Rosh Hashanah, as we know, we're discussing, is around the bend, two more weeks. So we've discussed Elul, we've discussed Tshuva at length already. That's fine. Yeah, we can talk in one direction. There you go. So we've talked about Elul at length, the idea of Tshuva, how to do Tshuva, what Tshuva is, that we've discussed. So now that's supposed to bring us to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be the day, there's a lot of Rosh Hashanah, a lot of depth, a lot of difference. Different aspects to it. First and foremost, beginning of the year, it is the day of judgment, where Hashem judges the whole world and decides everyone's fate for the coming year. It's the day of creation, when Hashem created Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, that was on Rosh Hashanah, the sixth day of creation. We have the ideas of the shofar, we have the ideas of the apple and honey and all the different signs of Rosh Hashanah. There's so many different aspects of Rosh Hashanah to discuss. But what I want to discuss today is the idea that Rosh Hashanah is this brand new start. It's there we can recreate ourselves. I want to discuss what that means, to recreate ourselves in Rosh Hashanah. Because it's supposed to be the day where Hashem judges us. That means that Hashem's looking at us. Are you going to be the same person you always were? Are you improving? Are you going down? Are you going up? Which way are you moving in life? That's what Hashem's looking at. And I want to discuss more the idea of Rosh Hashanah in terms of a fresh new start, a recreation, how that plays into the idea of judgment. It was the day of creation of Adam and Eve, Adam and Hava, which means that every Yom Tov has its historical roots. Pesach was when we left Mitzrayim. We have Shavuos, the giving of the Torah, etc. Yom Kippur, we discussed, was the day where God forgave us for the sin of the golden calf, and we got the second tablets. So Rosh Hashanah's historical root is the creation of Adam and Eve, the creation of Adam and Hava on the sixth day of creation. And so therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to somehow relate and tap into that event. To us, that means, in a certain sense, that Hashem is recreating ourselves every year. He's recreating us. We're tapping fresh into recreation. We're being refreshed. And just to give an analogy, you know, we go on the computer and we go online and we're surfing different web pages. So you have a refresh button. And when you push that refresh button, sometimes you end up with something different on the page. Some things are gone, some things are there, some things have new information. On Rosh Hashanah, the refresh button is pushed on the world. And when that refresh button is pushed, so then different things happen, depending on what Hashem wants for this year, how we have acted, have we done tshuva, not done tshuva, are we going in the right direction, not in the right direction. But it's the day of the refresh button for the world. That's what we understand the day. And the concept is actually a Kabbalistic concept. From the Arizal, he says that every year the world is recreated in Rosh Hashanah. It's not just the day we look at creation, but there's actually a recreation every year in Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of judgment, and because it's the day of creation, it's a day of judgment in that Hashem has to evaluate, does this part of my creation deserve to be recreated this year? And if it deserves to be recreated, how? And the rabbis say, not only is it judgment on people, even on inanimate objects get judged. It says, Kol Bai Olam. Everything that enters into the world gets judged Rosh Hashanah. You know, is this pen worthy of having the year that it had? Does it have a purpose in the world anymore? Not because the pen did anything wrong, not because the pen has any free choice, but Hashem looks at this world and says, is each piece in the world still serve a purpose, or does it no longer serve its purpose? Does it need to be around for my goals for this year or not? So that applies to inanimate objects, but certainly to the human being. The human being has free choice. The human being can do right and wrong. We have a mission. We're supposed to improve. We're supposed to serve God. We're supposed to be devoted. We're supposed to treat others correctly. And when Hashem sees that we're not fulfilling our mission, Hashem has to reconsider. Does this person deserve what they have? Maybe yes, maybe not. Does this person deserve to be around, not to be around? And Hashem reevaluates the world yearly on Rosh Hashanah with that calculation in mind. Does every single piece in my world have its purpose for the year? Is it fulfilling its job, not fulfilling its job? Is it necessary to remain as is for the coming year?
Somebody else
listen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Say hello, Susan.
Hello, Susan. Welcome.
Okay. One of the local rabbis. Yeah.
I'm going to start broadcasting.
Yeah, why not?
So the way that the Mishnah describes Rosh Hashanah, it says in Rosh Hashanah, everything in the world goes in front of Hashem, Givnei Maron. Givnei Maron is a funny phrase used in the Mishnah, Givnei Maron, the children of Maron. And the Gemara gives three explanations as to what B'nai Maron means. The three explanations of the Gemara are B'nai Maron may mean that as a shepherd counts his sheep one by one, so to Hashem looks at every single individual one by one. The second explanation is B'nai Maron means a very narrow staircase that only one person can walk on at a time. So we're all walking up this staircase, you know, and it's only wide enough for one person at a time. And the third explanation is that B'nai Maron refers to soldiers going out to war, being counted by their commander. So whichever way you understand that term, B'nai Maron, the message is the same message. The message is that on Rosh Hashanah we're judged as individuals, which means that as individual, we're not compared to other people. We're not compared to our surroundings. Hashem looks at us for who we are. Hashem knows how He created us. He knows what He expects out of each individual person. Everyone's mission is different. Our expectations are different from Hashem. Hashem knows where we were born, who we are, what potential we have, what capacity we have to do certain things or to understand certain things, whatever it may be. And Hashem looks at every individual as an individual and says, are you fulfilling your mission or not? Should I keep you in the world as you are? Should I change your situation? Do you need extra assistance in fulfilling your mission? Do you need some punishment to put you back in line? What do you need for this year? And Hashem views us individually. My expectations are different than your expectations. Everyone has different expectations. Different missions. It goes both ways. Yeah, there's incentives. Hashem may provide incentives. Hashem may provide punishments. It's like a parent with a child, a teacher with a student. Hashem treats us in the same way. You know, what does this individual need? But we're looking at individuals. So during the year, sometimes we compare ourselves to those around us. I'm not doing as well as this person. This person, you know, I'm much better than that person. And we compare ourselves. But in Hashem's eyes, what others are doing doesn't really matter. What matters is, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And we have to get into that mindset as well sometimes. We have to understand it doesn't matter what our neighbor is doing, what our friends are doing, or what our family is doing. What matters is, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? And it's a mindset sometimes we don't get into. But Hashem looks at us with that mindset. Hashem says, you're passing before me as an individual, like a sheep being counted one by one, like going up that narrow staircase in a single file line, like soldiers being counted going out to war, whatever the analogy the Gemara gives means. But the point is, one by one, not at all compared to those around you. So that's also an important thought to enter Rosh Hashanah with, is that don't compare yourself to those around you. Look within yourself and say, what do I have to offer to the world? What did Hashem put me here for, personally? And based on that, am I doing my mission? I don't care what he's doing or what she's doing. I care what am I doing. That's how Hashem judges us. And therefore we ask the question, am I fulfilling the potential Hashem endowed me with? Is it worthwhile for Hashem to keep me around this year? Or is it worthwhile for Hashem to keep me in the situation I'm in? And that's, we have to show Hashem that we're deserving of what we have, and we're deserving of more blessings, and we're deserving of more. We have to show Hashem we're committing to fulfilling our potential to the fullest. We need Hashem's help in doing that. And if He gives us what we need, we can fulfill ourselves. But if we're not on that path to fulfill our potential, so then Hashem may say, Yachas v'shalom, Hashem may say, well, this person isn't going the right direction. What they have is not obviously not working. We may have to make a new plan for this person, whatever that plan may be. But it's that refresh button, as we said. Hashem refreshes the world, pushes the refresh button, and then things change this year because different things are needed for every single year. But since Rosh Hashanah was the day of the creation of the first human being, that means it's a day where we can recreate ourselves. We can recreate in a different way. So if I know I have potential to really excel, let's say, in Chesed, I know I can reach out to others better than I can. But you know, for the past 5 years, I've been very lazy, I've been sluggish, I've had excuses, and I haven't done chesed appropriately. This is an example. This year, I could be recreated as a chesed machine. That's how Hashem's going to help me this year with becoming more of a bal chesed. Because that's what I'm committing to do, that's what I want to do. And when Hashem pushes the refresh button, and I'm refreshed for 5772, then I'm refreshed as with a new energy to chesed. With a new focus on chesed, if that's what my goals are, that's what I feel is what I need to fulfill this year. It applies to every area of life. If I've had struggles in relationships with friends, and you know, for the past 2 years, I've been on rocky terms with a certain friend, and sometimes you're in a habit, you stick with that habit. But this year, I can be refreshed and recreated to be a person who reaches out to that friend and shows them kindness, tries to mend the relationship. But you're not the same you were last year. You could be a new person this year. That's what's so empowering about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day where it should be a day that's a little scary because it's a judgment day, but it's also a very empowering day because there's so much potential in being recreated as a new person this year. This means we can be totally different. Who I was last year has no bearing on who I am this year. It may have bearing on it, but it doesn't have to have bearing on it. I can be a totally different person this year. That's what I commit to do. Hashem, the Gemara tells us when a person wants to go on the right path, Hashem gives a special divine assistance to that person. If you're coming to be metahir, to purify yourself, Hashem helps you. So if that's the path you want to go on, then Hashem will put you on that path. You'll get a special assistance. So that's the potential and the empowering idea of Rosh Hashanah. It's that you can totally be a new person, be recreated, refreshed, to be a different human being than you were in the previous year. If we don't try to be a new human being, then we're not going to be refreshed into a new human being. But if we try to be that new human being, we try to be on a different path, we try to be different, based on our work we do during Elul, in our soul searching, in our contemplation this month, deciding what are my areas where I should be doing tshuva, where's my room for improvement. Once I make those decisions, make a commitment, Hashem will refresh us as that new person for the next year. There's a very interesting Gemara. It's in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And it discusses, you know, different events in the Torah, when they happened, what the dates of those events. So the Gemara says three things happen in Rosh Hashanah. It says that in Rosh Hashanah, the matriarch Sarah, Rachel, and also Chana, who was the mother of Shmuel the prophet, they were barren until later in life, and Hashem allowed them to conceive children in Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Gemara says. So Sarah, until she's 90 years old, didn't have any children. It was Rosh Hashanah where Hashem decided to show children. Rachel and Chana as well, neither of them could have children. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem made the decision that these women now could bear children. And they were women who had children of tremendous value to Jewish people, you know, people who we look at as our leaders and as our sages. And Sarah had Yitzchak, and Rachel had many of the two of the tribes. Chana had Shmuel. So that's one event that happened in Rosh Hashanah. A second discussion of what happened in Rosh Hashanah is the Gemara says that Yosef was freed from prison in Rosh Hashanah. He was put in prison after being framed by his master, Potiphar, and he was in prison for a couple of years, and he was freed from prison in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says a third event that happened in Rosh Hashanah, it says that the Jews stopped working in Egypt in Rosh Hashanah. Even though they weren't freed until Pesach, Paro stopped giving them work on Rosh Hashanah. So this was still, you know, 6 months before.
But that was after all the plagues?
This was, I assume it was during the plagues. During the time of the plagues. I don't know exactly which.
What happened to Pharaoh?
They stopped having to work on Rosh Hashanah. They weren't freed until Pesach. Wow. But the work stopped on Rosh Hashanah.
What so, did they do all that time?
I don't know. Prepare to leave. Yeah.
I bet they were recuperating.
Maybe just for the Rosh Hashanah it stopped, but then it restarted.
No, well, it's saying it was totally, the Gemara says it was totally stopped Rosh Hashanah.
Really?
Yeah, totally stopped. Until they left, yeah. So at that point, they were still officially slaves, but they weren't working anymore at that point. I guess Paro was still too nervous to give them any new jobs in the middle of the plagues. I mean, that was what happened. I don't know. But he still wasn't ready to free them. Those are the three different occurrences the Gemara lists happened in Rosh Hashanah. So it's not just random. These aren't just random events. Obviously, there's some message that the Gemara is teaching us by telling us these events happen on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just history. There's always more to it. The Gemara is not a history book. The Gemara might give us historical stories, but there's always a reason why Chazal put these lessons in the Gemara. So what's the common denominator of all these three different stories? So I would say the following. I mean, picture any one of these people. Let's look one by one. Picture Sarah, maybe. Sarah was 90 years old. Her husband was Abraham. All they wanted to do was have a child to carry on their legacy. He worked for decades spreading monotheism. He became a prophet, spoke with Hashem. Sarah worked alongside him, trying to reach out to the world and bring the message of monotheism to the world. All they wanted was a child to carry on their legacy. It's all they wanted. Abraham kept davening, you know, please give me children to carry on my legacy. And they couldn't have children. She was 90 years old, he was 99. And so physically, she was way past childbearing age. Even when she was of the age, she couldn't bear children. And now suddenly, in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, no, you're going to have children. So anything she thought was, she thought she was stuck in life as somebody who wouldn't be able to have children. She thought this was it. You know, we're going to have to find someone else to carry on our legacy. It's not going to be my son, Sarah would say. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem said, no, the previous person you thought you were Sarah who couldn't have children, you're going to totally flip around. You're a brand new person now. You're going to be Sarah who's able to bear children. It was a physical change, but it was a change in her destiny. She's now no longer going to be a person would have to carry on her legacy in some other way, she'd be able to pass it on through her child, through Yitzchak. Same thing with, you know, Rachel and Chana, it's the same type of idea. Picture Yosef, this is even more extreme in my mind. Yosef was sold by his brothers as a slave, was carried out to Egypt. Yosef, as a child, he thought he'd be one of the 12 tribes. He thought he would be one of the fathers of the Jewish people. He saw himself as one of the spiritual leaders of the entire world and of history. And then he was sold as a slave. He thought he'd never see his father again, never see his brothers again. He's cut off from Jewish history, cut off from the Jewish people, won't be one of the 12 tribes anymore. He's going to be a slave. He's doomed to slavery for the rest of his life.
I heard that he actually believed his dream and was looking forward to the dream coming true.
I'm sure he's looking forward to it, but I mean, for all he could tell,
it meant that he would have seen his.
Yeah, I mean, he was a believer in God. He believed his dreams, but for all he knew, based on natural circumstances in the life as he knew it was totally over. He was then framed by his master when he was a slave and sent into prison, and now he's sitting there rotting in prison for several years. Finally, one day, he's called up by Pharaoh from prison, and in that same day, he goes from being a slave prisoner to being second in command of all of Egypt. And he sees that life, as he knew it, is totally flipped upside down. He thought he'd be rotting in prison forever now, as a slave, as a nobody. And suddenly everything just totally flipped around for him. One day, on Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis are telling us, Rosh Hashanah, he was called out of prison, he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and then Pharaoh appointed him a second in command of Egypt. So he went from being the lowest of the low in society to second in command. One day, a matter of one day.
That's kind of like, it's easy to be refreshed when you have that kind of change.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? But when you're talking about everyday life and everyday people, and it's just status quo, you go to work, you know what I'm saying? It's harder to...
Because you don't have these extremes.
And we don't have you saying that every day to us. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not... It's harder to have that type of refresh when you're not going from, you know...
No, so you're totally right. I mean, in our lives, the refresh is much more subtle.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as extreme as these refreshes. But the reason that the Gemara is pointing these stories out to us to show the potential of Rosh Hashanah is there to be refreshed in amazing ways. So in our lives, I feel, again, it's not going to be as extreme as going from a prisoner to being the president. It's not going to happen in our lives.
I don't even want it to. What I'm saying is just to be refreshed in our own status quo.
Right, but if we're trying to work on a certain mita in our life,
right,
we're trying to improve one area, so our status quo may change. I mean, these are extreme examples, but the message is clear. The message is Rosh Hashanah is the day where changes can happen. You can be totally flipped around in your life. And obviously they're not going to be as extreme or obvious as these examples, but the same idea could happen on our own level, you know, in more subtle ways, but also in obvious ways. You know, if we make a commitment to Rosh Hashanah, and people have struggled with various things and have very difficult struggles with various things in life, and Rosh Hashanah is a day where we can try to move past that struggle and become brand new people, and Hashem gives us that refresh to help us. The third example, same idea. The Jews were slaves in Egypt for 210 years. For all they knew, this is going to be their eternity, slaves in Egypt. Moshe comes along. Moshe is giving them he tells them, I'm going to save you. He starts the plagues. And suddenly, this is the day where they finally see the plagues accomplishing something. When Paro says, okay, no more work for you. You know, you're done working. So they say, wow, our destiny is not going to be slaves forever. There's somewhere else to go. It was a very drastic change in their lives to show them that you're going on a much different path this year. And I think that's why the Gemara quotes all these stories as happening in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, they happen in Rosh Hashanah, but shows the potential of the day that it can create these major transitions and transformations. But I think you're totally right. In our lives, we're not going to see transformations of this sort, but we have our own transformations on our own smaller level. And everybody can transform in their own way. We all have small things to transform. I mean, thank God none of us are slaves. We don't have to be freed from slavery. But we all have our own struggles in our own personal lives, you know, some bigger, some smaller. And we have to try to transform and transition out of those struggles. But then there's a very strong message, which is, in Hashem's world, anything can happen. Rosh Hashanah is a day that really determines a fresh start for us. And there can be extreme transformations, there can be more subtle transformations, but there's transformations which happen. And that's all in Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting also, it's not quoted in this Gemara, but I mean, we don't want to talk about it in a negative way, but it can happen. We have to understand Rosh Hashanah's day of judgment. And it can happen, God forbid, the other way as well. Such as the story of Eov, of Job. So his story, the rabbis say, happened also when the Satan first came to God and said, see this guy Eob over here? He's having things too good. Let's test him and see what happens. That was Rosh Hashanah as well, the rabbis say. And Eob was somebody who was very righteous, very wealthy, had a large family, everything was going for him. Suddenly, if you ever read the story in the book of Eob, just about in one day, he loses his children, he loses his money, and he comes sick. I think he came sick the second time around. But one day, he loses his children and all his money. And it was a total flip, God forbid, to the other direction. And that's a whole different discussion. The book of Eob is a very complex philosophical work. We have to discuss what that means, which is not today's discussion. But the fact that that happened in Rosh Hashanah also shows that Rosh Hashanah is a day where don't think that status quo is going to be the same in life. Rosh Hashanah is a day which tells us things can change, hopefully for the better, and God forbid, sometimes it could go the other way. We have to recognize that as well. We hope everything is going to be moving upwards into the world of more blessing and more goodness from God. But Rosh Hashanah is a day that shows you that God's world is not stagnant. God's world refreshes yearly. Rosh Hashanah is refreshed. The word in Hebrew, I mentioned it a few weeks ago, the word Shana is the same term as like Sheni, second, Shoneh, repetition. Because it's something which is yearly we repeat, but it's a new cycle this year. So every single year we have a brand new cycle, and things can be different this year. It's also related to the term Shinui in Hebrew, which is a change. Shana Shinui. Things change. This year is a new cycle of things change.
Okay, so it's an interesting question about Job here. So Job's fate actually was changed, but not because of his deeds, right?
Right.
So what's the message there? In other words, part of the whole Rosh Hashanah thing is if you change your behavior, whatever, then you'll get commensurate with your behavior. But in the case of Job, it was like there was just something that was done to him independent. So is that a possible judgment too? In other words, are we getting a message here that you can pray all you want, yes, no, and the judgment can be independent of, like Job, it could be independent of what you're doing or saying?
That's a very good question. I don't want to go too much on a tangent right now. But saying the fate of any person is based on our deeds. There, it's because of his deeds, it may have turned out to be very difficult at that point in his life, but Hashem decided this was the right thing to happen to him that year. But again, that's a much different discussion.
The end of the story was good. The end of the story was good.
Right. See, that was his challenge. He had a very difficult challenge. I don't want to get off topic right now. But that's there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which also discusses the same type of idea. It says, Al tisya'esh mina puranus. Literally, one should not give up on retribution, I guess would be the literal translation, which means there's several different explanations of what that means. One explanation of it means that just because everything is going well, we can't assume everything remains stagnant. Sometimes there is God's retribution even when we think life is going to be a constant. So, and God forbid, there are times where there is retribution from God, there could be bad decrees, and we can never think that because my life is going well and things are going in a standard, status quo, stagnant way, that's going to remain the same. Al-Tisya'esh, don't have Yush, don't give up on Puranus. Don't think they can't happen, because they can happen. It goes both ways. Everything can be flipped around for the good, everything can be flipped around for the bad. But the point is that Rosh Hashanah is that day where we have to recognize that. That this year and last year are not connected. This year can be totally different than last year, and we hope it's for the good. And we daven it's for the good, and we have a very special 2 days of Rosh Hashanah where we spend, and in Kippur as well, we spend hours and hours and hours davening to Hashem, please give us a year of blessing and of life and of peace. But this year, last year, they're not connected. They're different years. Everything's new this year. And we might think they might seem connected, but Hashem's telling us, Rosh Hashanah tells you they're not connected. It's a new creation. So the question is, if we're working on meriting a good year, so what is our job in Rosh Hashanah? We discussed our job in Elul. In Elul, we know our job is tshuva. We discussed that the past 2 weeks. We have to have self-reflection. We have to figure out where are our virtues, where are our challenges, how can we become better in areas that we're good at, how can we improve the areas that we need improvement. That's our work for Elul. Rosh Hashanah is a day where there's a whole different job. And the job in Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis tell us, if you read through the tefillos, all different prayers in Rosh Hashanah, there's one central message. And that message is pronouncing God as our King. That's the message of Rosh Hashanah. And why is that the message of this day? It's because we're supposed to subordinate ourselves to Hashem as our King. Meaning that it's a change in perspective on life. I'm during Elul's to focus on where do I need to change myself in specific areas. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to give me a very new perspective. This year, my perspective is that I'm subordinate to God. God is my king, and I try to structure my life around God's will. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to give me that message. That's what Rosh Hashanah is supposed to do. So I focus for 2 days in Rosh Hashanah on God as our king. Everybody in the world should proclaim God as the king. He's the one, and he's the creator. He's the one who controls the world. And I don't live for myself. I don't call my own shots. I allow God to call the shots. That's supposed to be our perspective we form on Rosh Hashanah. You view life in this perspective. The question is, what would the king think? What does he want from me? That's supposed to view life. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be a day where we sort of change our perspective on the world. You know, we perceive the world from our own two eyes, based on our own understandings. We call our own shots. Rosh Hashanah tells you that no, you're not supposed to call your own shots. You're supposed to let Hashem call the shots. He's the king. You're his subject. And this year, your perspective has to be a perspective of, I am a servant of a king, and I'm trying to perform his will. And just to explain this a little bit more, there's a very interesting medrash. It says, during the month of Elul, we add into davening Tehillim 27, I think it is, which is the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. The David Hashem Ori. So we say it's a psalm of David, King David. Hashem Ori. Hashem is my light, V'Yishi is my salvation. So the rabbis say that Hashem Ori, that Hashem is my light, refers to Rosh Hashanah. That's what they say. It says, Hashem Ori be Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem becomes my light. And then they say, V'Yishi, Hashem is my salvation, V'Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, Hashem becomes my salvation. And then it continues on, Kisrin V'Sukkot, I'm going to discuss the idea of Sukkah as well in that chapter of Tehillim. We discuss the Sukkah. So that chapter is appropriate this time of year because there's different allusions in that chapter of Tehillim to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. But Rosh Hashanah is called Hashem is my light on Rosh Hashanah. We refer to Rosh Hashanah as the day of Hashem being our light. Okay? So we have to understand, what is that metaphor that Hashem becomes our light on Rosh Hashanah? What does that do with Rosh Hashanah? We talk about Rosh Hashanah, a time of judgment, a time of repentance, a time of God being the king. What's the idea of Hashem becoming our light on Rosh Hashanah? So the idea, this one idea of this metaphor, is that in a very physical sense, light is the medium through which we see the world. In a dark room, you don't see anything. Turn on the lights, you can see. So I view everything through light. I mean, scientifically, the light's bouncing off our eyes, however that works. I don't know if anyone here has background in biology, whatever it may be. But scientifically, it's the light which allows us to see. We perceive it that way. We're in a room where it's light, we can see. You're in a room that's dark, you can't see. If the lights are red, everything looks red. If the lights are blue, everything looks blue. So the light really is our lens, which gives perspective on the world. That's what light is. Rosh Hashanah is that day where we're supposed to recognize that the light through which we should view the world is Hashem's light. Not from our own two eyes, but we should put on, the glasses of Hashem. And that's our perspective on life should change in Rosh Hashanah. Hashem becomes our light. So, it's the right, Hashem sees us now viewing the world differently in Rosh Hashanah. Now, last year I viewed the world in my own way. This year I've decided I'm going to try to view my world based on the eyes of Hashem, which means based on the Torah's principles, and the Torah's will, and the Torah's laws and mitzvot, etc. So Hashem sees this person now, Rosh Hashanah. Last year, this person was doing all sorts of terrible things. The person wasn't treating others right, the person wasn't, whatever it may have been. The person was not acting appropriately last year. Whether it be in big areas, small areas, but everyone has their faults. Hashem looks at us, Rosh Hashanah, and says, look at this individual now. This person is trying to be a different person now. They're not just working on specific areas, but they're actually trying to change their perspective on life. That means that you're trying to become a brand new person. When you change your perspective on life, then you've changed everything. Looking at specific areas is specifics, but changing perspective means that you're going to become a brand new individual this year. So Rosh Hashanah is a time to work on our perspective on life. But it's not just working on specifics. And during Elul, we're supposed to be focused on the specifics in our life. In which areas of my own being need improvement? That's Elul's job. Rosh Hashanah's job is to say that I'm now going to view the world differently. I'm going to try to change my perspective. This year is not going to be a year that I'm just going to look at the world as I used to, but I'm going to try to look at the world differently. I'm going to try to use new lenses and have a new perspective on life. That's Rosh Hashanah's job. And so we're building off of that. So then Hashem says, your next year is not going to be based on last year. You're not a product of last year anymore. Last year, you weren't viewing the world this way. This year, you're taking on a brand new perspective in life. I've become your light. I've become the medium through which you're seeing the world. So when you approach Hashem in that way in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, I'm going to refresh you to be that new individual you want to be, because you're showing me that you're taking the steps to become a new individual. And that's part of where it comes from. So working on specifics is a very important thing. We have to know which areas need improvement and how to improve it, have that game plan to be sincere and really try to change ourselves. But ultimately, no improvement is going to last if we still have the same old perspective on life. But if we look at the world differently and we subordinate ourselves to Hashem, you know, a little bit more Rosh Hashanah, and we try to become different people in the sense that we view life differently. And again, I'm talking in big terms, but it could be in very little, small areas as well. You know, there's ways to view the world. I'm Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to be a totally new person every Rosh Hashanah, in the sense that I'm going to change everything. I used to be this terrible person, now everything's going to flip around. But it means that Rosh Hashanah, you know, subtly we're getting the message that we're not here for ourselves. We're not here to call our own shots. We are subjects of the king, which means that there's rules we have to follow. There are situations which we're not in control of. There's ideas which we have to understand that we don't quite get yet. There's a lot of different aspects of being a subject to a king. We've never had a king, and we don't know what that means either on the physical plane. But I'm saying being a subject of a king means that I'm not in control anymore. And if we can understand that idea even the slightest bit more on Rosh Hashanah, so then we change our perspective on the world at that point. I don't call my own shots. I know that I am subordinate to some higher cause, some higher will. And that is a big goal in Rosh Hashanah, but that's really the way the rabbis portray Rosh Hashanah and what the tefillos say. The tefillos constantly repeat over and over again, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is the melech, he's the king. We talk about Yomar Kol Asher Neshama B'Apo, that every individual has a breath in their mouth, their nose, should say that Hashem is the melech. We want the whole world to proclaim Hashem is the melech, and that idea is constantly refrain. It's a constant refrain for all Rosh Hashanah. And slowly it seeps in. The more you repeat something, it seeps into you. And the idea, what's supposed to seep in Rosh Hashanah is that we're not in control. There's a greater power out there that we're only subordinate to. And it traces itself back to the creation, the sixth day of creation, which was Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem created Adam and Chava. It traces itself back to that. And where Hashem put an individual in the world. And having an individual in the world means that Hashem told Adam that, if you understand, that you're the subject, I'm the ruler, I'm the master. And your mission is to follow me. The human being is the only creation with free choice. Animals don't have free choice, according to our sources. Obviously, inanimate objects don't make any choices. But a human being has free choice. And Hashem created us to choose between following our own perspective, doing what we want, or subordinating ourselves to a greater will. And we're the only being in the world that has that choice. And Rosh Hashanah is the day where that being was created and given a mission. And the mission was, you should become a tool to perform the will of God. So Rosh Hashanah, every year we transplant ourselves back to that day of creation. We think about what it means to be a human being, what it means to be a subject of God, and that changes our perspective on the world. That's Rosh Hashanah. So just to recap, with our last minute here, Rosh Hashanah should be a day which, in a sense, we should have a fear. It should be a dread. It's a day of judgment. I think Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the founder of the Musar movement, they say he'd get up on Rosh Chodesh Elul to speak, on the first day of Elul, and he would say, today is Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he would faint from fear, because he would understand Rosh Hashanah is around the corner, and he was terrified. So for him, it was so real and so palpable, he'd actually physically faint because of it, because he would be so scared. We don't understand Rosh Hashanah in that same way. We don't relate to it with that same level of fear. But it should be a day which there is a fear, it's a day of judgment. But it's a day which is very empowering, because the fact that you're judged means that you have a responsibility in the world, there's accountability in the world, but also you can be empowered to change and be on the right path once again. There's both those aspects of Rosh Hashanah. So we can break out of our old habits, become new people, be recreated like Adam and Chava were on the first day of creation. We're transplanting ourselves back to that day and being recreated every single year on that day. The refresh button is being pushed on the screen, and new things pop up. So if we take that perspective, and then we focus on Rosh Hashanah, on changing our perspective on the world, which makes us new people, then Hashem will grant us a year of blessing, a year of peace, a year of life, which is what we all daven for. So I hope that Hashem this year writes us, gives us all chesiva chasima tova, and writes us in the book of brachos, and of blessing, and of life, and we actually see the new us, you know, be created this year. We all want to have a new us. We have our image of the new us should be. So this year, may we all merit to be that new person and change our old habits and become better. Amen.